I'm Henry Ryan, and with me is Steve Elzinga, and we're talking about ministry training. And today we're going to talk about the habits you need to succeed at ministry training, and really that applies for all of life.
Right. So let's start off, Henry, with a couple of verses. Joshua 1, verse 7,
be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go.
So my guess is you want to be successful in this training. You're taking these classes. There'll be quizzes. There'll be grades.
Who doesn't want to be successful?
Right.
In fact, I quit on things that I don't feel I can be successful
right.
on.
And we don't want you quitting.
Right.
So here Moses is sort of handing the reins to Joshua.
Okay.
And he's saying to Joshua, look, if you want to be successful, you got to remember these laws that were given. And laws are like habits.
Okay.
And we'll see that in our next verse.
Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, these commandments, those are the laws,
yeah,
that I give to you today are to be on your hearts.
But how are they going to get to that? What are you going to do?
Oh, so you right away ask yourself the question.
There's the laws. But how do the laws get into our lives?
Okay, so we're talking about the Ten Commandments laws.
Yeah, the Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments are listed.
Oh, okay.
So when he says these commandments, he's talking about the Ten Commandments
okay.
that I give you today. They have to be in your hearts, but how do we get them there? What do
okay.
we got to do?
Okay, so impress them on your children.
Now notice these next few lines.
Talk about them.
This is how you impress, right? You got to talk about them.
Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
So that, especially verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Do those not sound like habits?
See, they do.
Habits are things that you do on a regular basis.
You know, I'm thinking about that growing up. We both come from the Christian Reformed background. And back in the day, and had applied for Baptists and applied for many others, there was a habit of eating together.
Yes.
And when people ate together, after they ate, they opened the Bible and prayed.
Right. So we tied our devotional life to a habit that we already were good at.
Right.
People
eating.
Are really good at eating.
And it was like when we were young before microwaves,
right.
Mom spent all day working, more traditional for the meal.
Right.
We ate together. For us, it was 5:30. And if you were late, you didn't even eat.
Right.
I don't know if they do that nowadays, but you were like out.
Right. So it was a strong habit.
It was.
That happened every single day. And then they tied this religious habit to this strong habit, and
Bible
guess what?
Reading.
People succeeded.
Oh, yeah. I knew the Bible. By the time I was 18, I knew the Bible.
My wife grew up on a farm, and so they ate together morning, noon, and then evening, you know, in between chores. And they read a chapter every single meal. So they read three chapters of the Bible every single day. If you read three chapters of the Bible every single day, you'll read through the whole Bible in a year. Every year, they read through the whole Bible.
Yeah, her whole childhood.
Her whole childhood.
And my wife had the exact upbringing. That's why she's such a great partner to me. She knows the Bible just like your wife does.
Now today, because we've lost that habit of eating together, because food is fast, you can put it in the microwave, fix it quickly, everyone is on their own schedule, and because we lost that habit, a lot of Christian homes have lost the devotional time together habit.
Right.
So they're not succeeding.
You know, the habits are interesting. I want you to go deeper in that. What is a habit?
Well, a habit is a habitual thing that you do.
Repeatedly. Okay.
So there's a lot of things that we just do, you know, one off. We just do something and then we never do it again. You know, I go to a ball game, you know, like a professional football game. I've been to like three in my life.
It's more like an occasion.
It's an occasion thing.
Right.
But habits are like I brush my teeth every day. or you have the habit of celebrating Christmas every year. It's a pattern. Oh, it's a repeated pattern.
It's a pattern. Okay. A pattern. A pattern that stays consistent.
Right. That you don't have to think about. Right? I don't have to think about getting dressed. I have a habit of getting dressed every single day.
You do. And I notice that your breath doesn't smell bad.
Right.
So therefore, you have a habit of brushing your teeth.
And so you succeed because you don't have to rethink the whole thing. Mm-hmm. People that, like I grew up going to church every Sunday, and we didn't decide on Sunday whether we were going to do it. It was just a habit. So we succeeded. Right. Now, when I planted a church, I had all kinds of people that were going to church, but they decided every Sunday morning to go to church. They didn't have a habit. So when they hit some bumps in the road, they stopped going. Or if there's a better deal that came up, they stopped going.
Right.
So habits actually, number one, they take away our decision. We don't have to make a decision again and again and again.
Right.
If you had to make a decision about every little thing that you do, your brain would be overloaded with decisions. But most of what you do in a day is automatic. You just do it because this is how you do it.
The pattern of how you live.
Yes.
And that's from Philippians 3, verse 17. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. So are you saying the Apostle Paul, that Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, the early church, gave not only the gospel, but a pattern, a way of life, behaviors,
yes,
that they followed.
In fact, the early church was called the Way.
The Way.
They weren't called Christians.
Followers of the Way.
They were followers, and they were called that because the people watching them or looking at them from the outside said, these people have a different way of living. In other words, the habit of caring for people, the habit of loving and staying in a committed relationship, the habit of taking care of your children, the habit of caring for the poor and feeding the poor, all the habits of the early church stood out so much that the people outside the church called them the people of a particular way.
So here's my question. A lot of times people today that don't have a lot of productive habits. They might have bad habits, which I find are very easy to get.
Yes.
But productive habits sometimes are hard to find. And so we have to really know that we want to do the habit, or we won't do the habit.
Most of our habits we have because we inherited them. You know, I have a habit of speaking English. I don't work at it. I just live around people that speak English, so I end up doing that. In the United States, we have a habit of driving on the right side of the road. I don't work at it. I don't think about it. I just do it.
Yeah.
So most of our habits just come to us.
So habits really benefit our life.
Yes, but they can also hurt our lives.
Okay.
So the hard part is there's two hard parts. One part is you may have inherited a bunch of bad habits.
Right.
And how do you get rid of them?
Oh, yeah.
That's really hard. The second thing that's hard is to add new ones.
Right. So, like, here this ministry training for you comes in your life, and you have to figure out how to get habits of study that go against the default habits that are already existing in your life.
You may have really bad habits of, like, you may have the habit of procrastination.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
things you want to do, but you always put them off.
Right.
So here you are taking this class, you watch one lesson, you're going to watch the next one the next day, but then you put it off. Finally, two, three weeks later, and you go, forget it.
Am I smart enough? Can I learn ministry literacy? It's actually having the habits that support me to do the training to get my dream or my calling of serving the ministry.
Yeah, and I think there was a Malcolm Gladwell book that we read that suggested that the really talented, gifted sports people were not necessarily born that way. They just were surrounded with an environment that gave them incredible habits that made them practice way more than
anyone else. Yeah, yeah. 10,000 hours.
Right.
You know, Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
Very interesting.
So it doesn't really matter how smart you are. It's really about the kind of habits you may already have. Some of you already have some really good habits in terms of studying and learning. Some of you, maybe, you know, you've never had great habits in this arena, and you're going to have to develop new habits, and that's a lot harder.
So in order to persuade me, tell me the benefits of these habits.
Number one, easier to stick with your plans, decisions, and desires.
Easier to stick with your plan. Right. I do not get how that is connected to a habit, my friend.
So you have a, let's say you have a desire, a plan to have a great marriage.
Okay.
Okay.
Everybody wants a great marriage. Or why would you do it?
Or you want a great family life. Mm-hmm. That's your desire.
Your dream. Your hope. Yep.
But how are you going to make that happen? So every day are you going to wake up and go, okay, how do I make my marriage better today?
I just want it to be better.
I just want, you're not going to wake up and ask that question.
Right.
So what you need are some habits. So one of the habits might be, I'm going to start a habit of having a date night with my spouse every single week.
Okay.
Or we are going to pray at least once a day together. Or we are going to sit down on Wednesday nights and read the Word of God together and discuss it. See, those are concrete habits that you're now putting into your life that actually will contribute to your goal. So a lot of people have this broad goal. I want to make money. I want to provide for my family. I want a great marriage. But they don't have any habits in their lives that help push you towards that.
Do you remember that study that we discovered at the Bible League? And the study was marriages that made it versus marriages that didn't make it. And there was this academic study, and I forget where it was but it was early 2000s, late 1990s.
Yeah.
And anyway, it pointed out that if a couple did nothing else but actually opened up the Bible together and prayed, and I think this one was only praying, okay?
If they would just do that habit,
alone, that one habit
alone. The divorce rate, I think the divorce rate among Christians in the United States was something like 40%.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they add this one habit, it went to 0.05%.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I mean, go figure. It's like you invite God into your marriage, it changes everything. But that is the habit of doing that.
Right.
That wasn't even a question of, do they get their theology right?
Right, right.
Did they go to church every Sunday?
Right.
It was just if they had the habit of praying together as a couple.
Right. So that's why the Bible in the Old Testament, for example, is filled with all these traditions and these festivals and, you know, every Sabbath, this is what you need to do. It's filled with all these different habits because they would hold people to the thing they really wanted.
Okay. Interesting.
All right. Number two, benefits of habits. You avoid the tyranny of the urgent.
The tyranny of the urgent. You mean without habits, we tend to default to the urgent?
Yeah, whatever is the emergency, and let's face it, emergencies are happening all the time. So unless we decide ahead of time that this is what we're going to do, we will be distracted if we don't. So a lot of people with church attendance, they want to go to church. They believe in going to church. They believe going to church is helpful for holding their family together and the faith together. But because they don't have a habit of doing it, they let whatever happens. Well, you know, my son he's got a game. And someone else, you know, where they're in town, it's their only time to go shopping.
Right.
Or whatever it might be, whatever the urgent thing is, whatever the need of the moment is, you will then sacrifice the thing you really want to do because it's not a habit. Now, if it's a habit, you just say, I'm sorry, I can't do that on Sunday morning.
Right.
So, for example, I'm a pastor.
Right.
I can't just say, well, I'm going to skip this Sunday. Because I have to be there. So for me, it's a really easy thing to hold on to because I'm in a way forced to.
And what about the simplicity of like going to the same house every day after coming home from work? Now, you wouldn't think of it that way because it's like, duh, I go home.
Right.
But actually, if that wasn't your habit, your marriage would probably fall apart in a hurry, and that's like a habit you don't even think about.
Exactly. And those are all little habits that they just are small little things. Well, of course you'd come home. But that house that you own together forces you to come together.
Right.
If you didn't have that, you wouldn't be forced together. Some people, you know, are living in two different cities and they're married and they don't have this situation. So then they have to find a new habit. We're going to call each other every single night. Or
right.
we're going to, they have to come up with something or soon the marriage falls apart.
So when it comes to ministry training, the tyranny of the urgent could easily destroy your dream or your goal to study. So somehow or other, as this is progressing, some habits will need to be formed for you to succeed.
Right. So these courses, what's cool about these courses that you're taking is you can take them at your time.
Right.
Regular school.
That can be dangerous, though.
Yeah, but a regular school, you have to be there at 10 o'clock.
It's a forced habit. And at regular school, this is
right. But the freedom of is some of you have different schedules. You have work. You have things, and you know you can put it in the best possible spot for you.
Right.
Whereas a regular school, you wouldn't be able to do that. You wouldn't even be able to go to school because you're working, and then the school is in the day, and you work during the day, and you couldn't do it. So it's an incredible thing that you can take these classes anytime. But the downside is you don't have to do it today. Yeah, you don't have to do it today. You don't have to do it tomorrow. You don't have to do it next week.
Right.
And so unless you stick a habit in there, the chances of success are slim.
Well, and many times what we've experienced with people who succeed at ministry training is that they will have to remove one habit and replace this with the habit of study.
Right.
And they remove it and consistently do it so that if it's 1 hour, if that's your time every day, then whatever that was hour there has to be replaced by this, and then you just stick with an hour and you go with it. What we find is when people think, like, I'm going to do it, so they do a bench thing for 5 hours.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like 2 weeks goes by,
and they haven't done a thing.
And they haven't done a thing. So it's almost like if you're going to do the 5 hour block, then every Saturday at 1 till 6, it's 5 hours. Every Saturday, that's the habit. Not like, oh, we're going to do it, and then I binge on it, and then I quit it. Or if it's every day, from 8 to 9 every day, you know, or some people from 7 to 8 in the morning, they get their coffee, and they right away do this before other work. That's crucially important.
Yes. All right, number 3. The benefit of the habit is there's less stress. Decisions are made ahead of time.
Decisions are made ahead of time?
Yeah, because, you know, if I decide I'm going to every Saturday do CLI stuff in the morning for 4 hours,
right?
Then when something comes out, it's easy for me to say, no,
sorry, I'm busy.
I'm busy.
I have an appointment. I'm busy, sorry.
Right, because otherwise, all the demands of life, the demands of family, the demands of work, the demands of friends, the demands of everything are just going to bowl right over you. So find, you know, a habit really is a thing that you do on a regular basis, generally at a regular time, so you don't have to think about it. You made the decision ahead of time. If you have to make the decision every single time, decisions are hard. Should I do it? Shall I not? I don't know. Now you have to weigh all the options. Well, let's see, I would like to do that, but then that, and then I'll get behind. If you have to do that every day, it wears you out.
I remember one of our early mentors in our friendship, Rich DeVos, who helped found Christian Leaders Institute College Alliance. He used to say things like, life is about little things that have in habits that get repeated. And he said, if you want to do something big, you have to maintain habits over long periods of time.
It's really little by little, right? And that's the next thing.
Yeah.
Number 4. Progress is achieved
little by little.
Right. So what happens is we know students who don't have a good habit, so they do something, and then they let it go, and then they binge again and try to do something and try to make up for not having a good habit. And it's even hard to understand all the material all at once.
Right.
And then they take a quiz and they fail.
Yeah.
And then they feel bad and they self-loathe.
Right.
Or they blame someone.
Right.
They gloat.
Yeah.
There's, you know, something happens there.
Yeah. And you can't, you know, if I wait 3 weeks before I take the next lesson, I forgot the first lesson.
Right. Right.
And I'm losing the whole sense of the course.
Right.
So finding, you know, doing it little by little by little is probably the best way towards any kind of success. Number five, habits become a lifestyle.
Ooh, so here you go.
So that's, you know, that's really Deuteronomy 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. How do they get there? You have to impress them. In other words, there's some work. Impress them on your children.
Yeah.
Talk about them. When? When you sit home.
Right.
When you walk along the road. When you lie down. When you get up.
Right.
All the times of your life. Tie them as symbols on your hands. You know, people used to put little strings on their finger to remember things.
Right.
Bind them on your foreheads. Maybe you've seen Jewish background people at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And they're praying, they're nodding back and forth, and you'll see a little box on their forehead. They're literally trying to do Deuteronomy 6. They actually put the Word of God in that box.
Right.
So they're putting the Word of God in front of them.
Right.
Put it on your gates and on your door. So when you leave your home, the Word of God is there. When you come back from your home, the Word of God is there. When you walk with your kids, the Word of God is there. When you talk with your spouse, the Word of God is there. Surround your life with the Word of God. Put habits at every turn. And then you'll have this strong walk with God. If you have a strong walk with God, that's when you're successful in life.
You know, it's fascinating around Christian Leaders Institute when we think about, like, products, we think about habit products.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we kept hearing is that people succeed in the morning if they get up really early and they get their cup of coffee. So there was a local brewer around here that was very friendly to us and a high-quality brewer that does great brew. So we thought, let's get Minister Brew. And the goal was, there's a fundraising component because we want to keep giving free ministry training. But we wanted to find things that were sort of in our lifestyle brand.
Right.
So, there's things like cups and coffee and all of this stuff like that. Because we wanted to kind of get habits and support habits, because we don't really have people eating together as much anymore.
No.
But there are still eating and drinking habits, and coffee for many people is they got to have their first cup.
Right.
So if you get up an hour early, so you want to do ministry training, and there's going to be a sacrifice. We know that. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, I challenge some of you, get up an hour early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get your cup of coffee,
right.
Have your devotions. And then do an hour of study
and
make it a habit where the coffee pot is on or whatever works for you to actually get a habit.
Right. And in some ways, all these things, I have this cuff, I have this hat.
Right.
I'm wearing a shirt.
We're tying them around,
We're trying to do Deuteronomy 6.
It's important.
I play a sport called pickleball, So I'm the president of the Grand Rapids Club. There's 800 members. Some people go to church, some people don't. I go out and I always put all this on.
Right.
Why? Because I'm trying to hold on to all this stuff.
Right.
And how can I disavow my walk with God and have this hat on?
Right.
How can I treat people poorly if I have a hat that says I'm a minister, I'm a person who serves people, and now I'm being unkind to people? So what all this does is it helps me. It's like putting the Word of God on your gates. This is the kind of person that I want to be. This is the kind of person that I should be. So in other words, if I'm wearing this shirt and I'm not doing the classes that I signed up for, there's a disconnect. If I'm going to wear this shirt, then it's constantly reminding me I am a leader. I am a learner. I am a one who's on the way to be a leader. And so I better stick with that.
You know, it's funny, Steve. We used to not have a bunch of products. And at first, I really didn't want to get into it all.
Right.
And a student said,
we're on this team. You know, so we introduced something years ago, and then what we found is that people actually, you're right about right. that, you know, impress them on your forehead right. and your shoulder. Yeah, I'm always amazed at how we get on teams. Like, right. if you think like a football team has right. a jersey, right. there's a team and they're a habit.
Baseball team and we all have the hat and we're, yeah. you know, in this together, and if we're going to put the hat on, we better do it.
Right. So how do we develop good habits?
All right.
So number one, figure out your schedule. So we're actually kind of talking about that already.
Yes.
Are you going to get up for coffee? Are you going to do it at night?
Are you a morning person? Do you have like a half an hour at your work at
right.
noon?
Right.
Is it something you're going to do with your spouse? And so you have to coordinate that schedule, or maybe one of your kids wants to take a class with you. So it's find your place in your schedule where it works out, where you have the best chance of creating a habit that you can stick with.
You know, I often don't have an opportunity to talk to students as much as I want to because of the whole accreditation issues and being busy and raising money and all of that so that keep things stay free. But I will tell you, occasionally, somehow I'll talk, and just about a month and a half ago, I talked to a student, and she was on the phone, she was trying to get things done. And it really came down to there was one thing lacking in her plan. She never actually found a time to do her studies. So I followed up on her, and things are going great now. It all came down to she didn't sit down.
Right.
And what she needed to do was she needed to talk to her husband.
Right.
There was an issue with the kids.
Right.
She had to go for different options. She had to actually put it in her schedule with the approval of her husband's schedule.
Right.
I mean, it was no simple deal to actually put this in her schedule.
Right. The thing we're talking about is really hard. We're not talking about your old habits, habits that you already do.
Right.
Because those are easy.
Right.
That's why they're your habit.
Right.
But to add a new one, all of a sudden, like you had said before, my schedule is already full, so what's going
right.
to give?
Right.
You know, maybe I can't watch a movie every night if I'm going to do this.
Right.
And I have to give up something to add something.
Right. Wow.
Number two, connect to other successful habits.
Okay.
So we said that with, like, coffee, you know?
Yeah, right.
If you have coffee every single morning, why not put your studies right next to it? For me, with my devotions, that's what I do. I do my devotions right in the morning because I never miss out on this.
I know.
No. So my Bible is sitting right next to it. So now I have to drink my coffee and ignore my Bible that's sitting right there.
Right.
Well, that's hard to do.
You know, we named it the coffee ministry brews for that reason. We wanted to brew ministry,
yes.
and we understood. I mean, this concept of habits of that was formed in our mentorships years ago.
Right.
We did that for devotions, but now here we are full circle.
Yes.
It's to train ministers.
Right. All right. Number three, find a positive environment to study.
See, there you go. I mean, doesn't this have a similar ring? You know, if you are in a noisy environment and you need quiet, do not be in a noisy environment.
Right. Or if you are in a noisy environment, then you have to find a way, you know, earplugs, headphones, something so that you can actually succeed at this.
I had one person who could only succeed at ministry training when he was using the facilities, going to the bathroom. Now, that was, I mean, I first of all sort of laughed, but you know what? Little by little, he's
right.
making it happen.
Right. So, and also, how much time you give it.
Right.
You know, a lot of times what we find is students will give a huge amount of time in the beginning because they're really motivated. But then they start going, oh, I just don't have 2 hours right now. And then they peter out because they bit off too much.
Right.
And now the expectation is too high.
Right.
And that's often why people fail at almost everything, because they do way too much and can't sustain it.
Right.
And then they drop right off.
Well, and when you do way too much and can't sustain it and you fail, you almost become resistant.
Right.
For continuing your ministry training.
Right. Number four,
focus on little.
yeah, it's true.
We were in ourselves.
Yeah.
Focus on little by little.
Right. There's a proverb that says money grows
little by little.
And most, you know, a marriage relationship, your closeness grows little by little. It's consistency over a long period of time, not, okay, I have a relationship with you, and I'm going to ignore you for a whole year, but then I'm going to take you on a wonderful vacation for 1 week.
Right.
It's better to have a consistent relation, little by little, a little prayer here, a little good morning there, how are you?
I'm here, there, yeah, all that, yeah.
As you go, every single week, you know, some have, in their marriage, every time they leave, they give a little hug.
Right.
That little tiny thing consistently done every single day is way more important than trying to make up for it all in one shot.
Why do you think little by little works?
Well, you know, in some ways, that's how we learn everything. I mean, I learned English little by little.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, I wasn't born speaking English. It took, you know, music, ministry. I went to seminary. I learned all these things. But on the job, little by little, is when I became who I am. Our friendship.
Right.
We developed it over 20-some years, little by little by little.
Yeah.
And little by little becomes incredibly strong.
Yeah.
You know,
we can even weather, when we have our own disagreements, we can weather a lot of things.
Yes.
Because the little by little established a foundation.
Right. Well, there's too many little by little good things to undo it with one negative thing.
Right. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Number five, reward yourself and find others to celebrate with.
Yeah. You know, I, again, have underestimated this early at Christian Leaders Institute, but I have seen, like, I remember one guy from New York called, this was maybe 2012, and he said, why don't you guys give out awards? And I was like, well, just do your studies, isn't that reward enough? I mean, I told this guy this. And he said, well, I'm working hard, and I, you know, it's, so then we started thinking about it, like, you know, really, it was enough, we thought, just offer the training.
Mm-hmm.
But then we started thinking about it. So when you finish this class, there's an award that you can order.
Right.
And some people are like, it's really not that big of a deal and everything. But it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it communicates something, and we hear all the time about someone receives an award, and we have our fees really low because we see the function of why give an award.
Right.
And it changes so much in the spouse claps, and things change because you have rewarded yourself for all that study.
Right. One of the things that Rich DeVos taught us is people will do what they get recognized.
Right, exactly.
That what you recognize is what happens. So if you're a parent and you want your kids to do good things, you need to recognize the good things that they do. And if you do, that empowers them to keep going in that direction. If you never recognize them, then they're looking to the world to find what the world can recognize them in, you know, at school or trophies or sports or business or money or something. The world is really good at recognizing people to get them motivated to do what it wants them to do.
You know, in a lot of ways, there's informal and formal recognition. Like a good marriage, there's always informal recognition going on.
Right.
In school, it's hard to get informal recognition. So what we set up in our society is like graduations and things like that, because, you know, that study is something you do alone.
Right.
Okay, and you don't really feel the encouragement of it always because you're doing habits and you're in a grind little by little. So when someone gets an award or a graduation, that's powerful.
Yeah.
We have seen, and we've traveled around the world now, Steve and I, Abby has traveled here and there, and Florence and other leaders here. And it's powerful to see the tears come with just a simple piece of paper. Because it's not just a simple piece of paper.
No. It represents all the work, the struggle, the determination, the drive, the, you know.
The lonely hours, the early mornings, the trying to get it together.
And, you know, God showing up in special ways to keep you going. It represents all those things.
Wow.
Okay, So number six, find mentors and accountability partners.
Hmm. So it's not enough just to reward yourself.
No.
You need to actually find people to walk along the way with you.
Right. So the cool thing about this course of study is you can do it anytime. It's free. It's accessible. You don't need to spend a lot of money to go to some school. There's no travel time. All these things. But the hard part is you're not in a class where some teacher and students are forcing you to keep going and to work hard.
Right.
So that's why you need mentors and accountability people in your life, people that can come alongside and say, hey, how are you doing?
Right.
You will hit bumps in the road.
Yeah. One of the things that we really talk about, and especially when you get into the connections class, which is the next class that we strongly suggest you take, is finding a mentor.
Right.
And because we see that that's that icing on the cake.
Yeah.
You're connected. And many times mentors will give you new opportunities. Many times mentors will give an encouragement. Many times mentors will be that extra relational connection that makes all the difference.
You'll hit bumps in the road.
Yes.
And without someone just kind of helping you over that bump, a lot of people quit. So find a godly mentor that can just encourage you. You share what you're trying to do, and then ask them to pray for you, people to pray for you, but also people to check in with you to make sure that you're doing what you really want to do.
Now, many times, failure will strike us.
Yes. You will fail.
What? No, not me. No, I will not fail.
Yes. You will fail, and what we've seen, I remember you, Henry, when we first started years ago, we found this whole thing of people need a personal walk with God.
Right.
In their personal life, their marriage, their family. And we thought, let's just tell everybody that. Here's the Bible. Start walking with God.
Makes sense.
And when we shared it, if you want a relationship with someone, you have to talk and listen to them repeatedly.
Right.
And that just makes sense.
Right.
And if you want God, the creator, the sustainer of the universe, in your corner, then having a relationship with it is absolutely
easy.
So this is like the number one thing in your life.
Right.
And we thought, and people, when we were done talking to them, they would be pumped. They're ready to go. We'd show them how to read the Bible.
Yeah.
And we had the Serendipity Bible. We showed them how to pray.
Yeah.
We gave them a challenge of 21 days. And everyone was like,
yes.
Ah, finally. I've never done anything about my spiritual walk. God hasn't been close. I've been confused. And finally, I can take control of my own spiritual destiny in there. And it's easy. And you showed me exactly what to do. And they're so thrilled about the whole thing. And they're like this high. And Henry, you and I were like so encouraged. Like, this is going to be easy. We're going to start a revolution all over the world.
Yeah.
But then what we discovered is people were so high, and then 3 days later, they procrastinate, they put off, they have one problem or another, and 2 weeks later, they've quit.
Right.
And they don't want to take our calls.
Right.
And, we would call and go, so how are you doing? And, I'm working on it. And then a week later, they haven't done a thing. I call again, and they don't want to take the call. Why?
Right.
Because they failed. They thought they were going to succeed. They thought it was going to be easy. They thought it is simple, but it's not easy.
Right.
And so they fail, and then when people fail, they don't want to think about it. They don't want to try. They don't want anything.
What I find that when people fail their ministry training, it is fascinating. At first, they themselves feel bad about it. Then what happens is the Christian Leaders Institute classes are not organized correctly.
Yeah.
Because I would say, glozing.
Yeah. Oh. That professor.
He was too boring.
He was too boring. And the site is too slow. Or
that class volume was too low.
Yes. Or that lecture went on way too long.
Yes. Like this lecture is already going that way for some of you.
Right.
And it becomes this thing where all of a sudden, like, it's such a big obstacle. Failure breeds excuses.
Yes.
Which breeds anger.
Yes.
And glozing, and then pretty soon you're stymied and stuck.
Right.
So, like, then how do you get out of that pattern?
Right.
Just how?
Start again?
Just start again.
Okay, so wait a minute. Hold it. So
okay, step one is realize that you will fail.
Okay.
Because the one problem was people thought it was going to be easy and that they had no chance of failing.
Right.
So realize that the devil's real.
Spiritual warfare.
You are doing something that is going to give a black eye to the devil's program. Mm-hmm. So guess
yes.
what? He would stop that. So you will encounter things that will, you know, try to stop you in your tracks.
Right.
And you will get stuck.
Right.
So what do? Face it. Yes. Okay, I got stuck.
Okay, so try again. Do you have any tips on trying again?
Okay, some tips. All right. Number one, do course at the same time and place each day.
There's our coffee, ministry brews, at the same time.
There's that habit.
Yes.
Okay, so trying to do a habit every single day. Number two, listen to the lecture one time, listen a second time, and take notes.
Right.
So what we're trying to do is establish a little bit of a habit for you.
Right.
Because we want you to succeed.
Right.
If you only listen once, and that's your pattern, then you forget it, then you take the quiz, you don't do well on the quiz, and then you quit because you fail.
Right.
But if you listen to it once, listen to it second time, take some notes. Remember, the goal is learning.
Little by little learning.
Little by little.
Yeah.
Number three, read the reading and underline things that stand out or are interesting to you. Do that the first time. Read a second time. Take notes.
Right.
These are simple little things. Now, what people do is they read the first time and think, oh, I got to absorb every second of this.
Right.
And who knows what's going to... In other words, the pressure is on too much and then you miss things. Instead, relax.
Right.
Enjoy.
Right.
See what this is. Underline only what hits
right.
you. You know, I'm just reading this.
There's now you can do that with your computer or on your phone. It's just... copy and paste like a couple of those notes and then put them into another file.
Right.
So, you know, so there's, you know, we don't have, like back in the olden days, you'd have textbooks and then you underline them.
Yes.
Today, be creative on how you're going to do this to sort of take notes.
Yes.
Or just write them down. You know,
yes.
we have something that a lot of students use, and that's the Christian Leaders Institute notebook, and they take notes.
Right.
And then what they have with their notes, they have their notes for further reference.
Right. And so when you take the quiz, guess what? It's open notes.
Yeah, it's open notes. So really you become, at Christian Leaders Institute College Alliance, you become researchers and
right.
you become journalizers. You journal
yes.
your stuff, you write it down, the quiz comes, you have your notes.
Yeah.
I have many students when we travel, they will bring their notebooks out. And it would be so fun to look and they go, well, here's the basic, you know, here's Theology 1. Here's, you know, Bible Survey. And this is what I see often. I see them go through their pages.
Yes.
And I've seen more than once tears.
Yeah.
Because these pages relate to habits
yeah.
relating to doing the work, spending the hours, and they look back
yeah.
to what they've learned.
You know, when I finished seminary, at the end, you have to take this big oral exam.
Right.
You have to meet with four or five professors, and they can ask you any question about anything
right.
that you learned over the
yeah,
last
yeah.
4 years.
Yeah.
Okay? So the first time I did it, I was like, oh, I wasn't doing very good.
Right.
And the professor took me aside afterwards. Let me see that book again.
Okay.
And that's what he said. He said, you know what? This is what I suggest you do. You get a notebook like this, and you start writing all the things, different courses, different thoughts, things you read. Just write down the things that are really important to you, and then periodically just read through it. Periodically, little by little, go over it and 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 over it. And soon, all that stuff that you've learned is in here. Because, you know, the first time through, it doesn't always just stick.
Right.
But going over it, a little bit, just little things. You know, there's a course, somebody says something, you write it down. Just write it down. I mean, this is just a little book.
Yeah.
If you filled this up, it would take you, you know, an hour to read through the whole thing.
Right. Right. And you right away bring back much of what you learned.
Yes. This will stand for volumes, but it's going over it again, writing it down. All these are the ways to make sure it sort of gets
back to really that Deuteronomy passage.
Yes.
So this is not. This is really about Deuteronomy.
Yes.
Like stick it on your forehead. Tie them on your forehead. Right? Yes. I mean, in a lot of ways, that's what we're talking about.
That's
it's
right.
really not that
right.
complicated.
Exactly. So number four, discuss with a friend or a mentor.
Let your spouse.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times professors will say that. They'll say to, you know, the student, you know, after the lecture, hey, I've just told you about something.
Right.
Go and do it.
Right.
Or go and tell someone else.
Right.
Because you listen to it, but it doesn't get internalized till you do something with it.
You know, so a lot of times I know that when you read a book and then you call me.
Yeah.
Okay, or I read a book and I call you. Oh, right. I just found that, you know,
right.
and if I call you,
right.
I find that my ability to apply what I've learned
right.
goes up dramatically, because then you'll pop another thought over.
Right. Right.
Hey, I was reading this book and that relates to that.
Right.
And you go deeper right. all the time.
Right, or I'll challenge you and go, well, that doesn't make any sense. And that challenges you to go, yeah, what did he mean?
Right.
And all of a sudden it becomes clearer
yeah.
to you than it was before.
Yes, exactly. And number five,
take quiz.
Get into your habit of taking your quiz after you've... You know, don't cheat the system.
Right.
You know, and I'll just mention something, too. We have we have a cheating policy, a plagiarism and cheating policy, and we have algorithms, and we see students who do this.
Mm-hmm.
What they'll do is they'll open up the Christian Leaders Institute or college studies, they'll go quickly over them, and then they will glance, and then they think to themselves, you know what, I know a lot about this subject, I'm just going to wing it.
Right.
Okay, so then they take the quiz, and they go really fast, and then they get like, you know, 60%, 50%, 40%, and then sometimes they even try to get things restarted. And we even see some more extensive cheating at times, where people do forms of cheating that they make up, and then we have algorithms that you will ultimately get expelled if you cheat here. Okay.
Yes.
So the point I'm making is why.
Yeah.
This is amazing stuff.
Right.
Just do it little by little. Get your habits.
Right.
Go through. Do course at the same time each day. Listen to the lectures once, then twice. Do the readings. Take notes. Talk to your spouse. Talk to somebody about what you're learning. Take the quiz.
Right.
And you know what you find is that it's an open book quiz. If you've just done what we just talked about, you know exactly where the answers are. Oh, I saw that. Glows.
Right.
The word glows was in that. You know, he even said he was going to put that on the quiz. You know, so you right away get that down. So you can put on your notebook, you know, glows. You know, and now you tell your family about this word, and they're all going, that's not a word.
Right.
They all look it up, and next thing you know, the whole family using the word glows.
Right.
So that's it's the culture of learning is what we're talking about.
And the goal, remember, the goal is not just to get a certificate or a degree or something that says that you're somebody. Remember, the goal is this.
Minister.
The goal is to be a minister and to do ministry. The goal is to make a difference in the lives of people.
Right.
Jesus, you know, how many certificates did he earn? But his goal was to be a minister, to train ministers so that ultimately the kingdom could be built.
Right. So, well, until next time, now you know your stuff about habits. And if you're actually still at Christian Leaders Institute into your third lecture here, you probably are serious enough and to actually succeed at this.
Yes.
So now you know, take a little time, go through the steps, and may God bless you as you get the habits of success at Christian Leaders Institute, College, or Alliance.